I mean, man, I said, whoa. Ooh, boy, I was traveling, boy. I had my traveling shoes on that night. I ain't kidding. I said, Pastor, I'm going to be late. And, boy, I wasn't even late. I was on time because God is an on-time God. I was, well, I exceeded the speed limit for a while. After I left you, Didi, he was merciful in that. I mean, man, my God. So we're going to be in Genesis 22. I kind of talked this on one Sunday morning. Might have been last Sunday or something. Lord, give it to me in another way today, and I just thank him. You know, that song that we sing, God is my everything. And I, you know, I love that song. And I heard that that was somebody else's favorite song. Gwen then, right? So that's our favorite song. But I said, Lord, you are our everything. And that's what you mean to us. Let that really get down in my spirit. Let you be my all and my all and my everything. I mean, when I say everything, I mean everything. When he said he will provide all our needs, you know, just whatever you can think. If you can't even think it, if it's just in your heart to ponder it, God is everything. But we got to believe and make sure that we trust him. And so today I'm going to be speaking a little bit about some faith. And I ain't saying nobody ain't got no faith. Let me clear that up this morning. But I'm just being obedient unto God, because when I was seeking the Lord, trying to get a word for us, not y'all, for me, y'all, and whoever else is listening, I can go to the Bible and just about speak about anything. But I said, Lord, what's needed? And so I didn't know. And so I got up one morning, and the Lord just started speaking to me. And I started typing, because I heard this one lady say, when you go and seek the Lord, take your pencil and paper, because he's going to speak to you. And when he starts speaking, try to write and keep up. And so as he was speaking, I was typing. Yes, Lord, get to work. Talking to me some more. All the way till it was time for me to pull out of that parking lot. And I said, okay, well, it's time for me to go, because he had stopped. I ain't heard nothing else. And so I thought, Lord, I don't hope this is you and not me. I said, finger ready to pull off. I said, wait a minute, let me get my word for the day. And so my word for the day confirmed. And then last night, listening to Billy Graham confirm what we need. Well, not what we need to exercise. We got it. It's all in us. And that word of the day was, so then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. If we know anything about faith in the Bible, we know Abraham was called the father of it. He had faith, like, man, I mean, and you start reading. What got me reading about Abraham, when we had this quiz, this trivia, and we had a ball that night. And I said, Lord, let me start reading about this man again. And boy, I tell you, and I start reading about Father Abraham, this man was like no other in the Bible. I mean, man, it's a wonder God didn't translate him. But I guess he got to leave us some examples, you know what I mean? Because Enoch was not, and he was translated. Elijah was translated. But this man, Abraham, when you read about him, boy, I tell you, man, I'm like, well, why didn't you take him out of here? You know, but, you know, I got to leave you something. If I take everything, it's already hard for us to believe. You know what I mean? Hard for me to believe on some things, you know, but I got to leave you an example so your faith can rise too. And just reading and studying about Abraham, my faith has risen. And that's what God is to me. I mean, down to a wagon. I said, Lord, you just give me everything that I ask for. You know, it may not come when you want it, But it's right on time because he'll give you what you need and the desires of your heart if you just believe him. Jesus said, only believe. And so we're going to try to talk about a little bit of faith today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you and I praise your name, God. I thank you for being so kind to us, Lord, and I thank you for your favor, God, upon our lives, Lord. But Father God, I need you right now, God, the word that you have given me. I ask, Father God, that you will speak to me, God. I pray, Father God, oh God, that you will send my help. The Holy Ghost is my help, Lord. I need him this morning. And I ask, Father God, that he will help me and lead me and guide me in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, so that I can get this word across, God. I can get your point, not my point across, Lord. That it will enter into the people's heart this morning, God. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen. Come on, give God some praise this morning. He's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is good. And we're going to start at the very first verse in Genesis 22. I'm going to read a little bit, not that much. And as I say, I ain't got much this morning, but I'm asking God to just ring me out. I've been saying that, Lord, ring me out. You know, so much. When God start talking to you and you start writing, I say, Lord, I want to follow you. You gave me this, but I don't see how people do it when they just read off of this. And I get sidetracked trying to follow him and trying to follow what he had me writing. So I thought about too, he gave me something about putting this on the web and just letting people read. Like you pick up some stuff on the web and you read. And so I'm going to test him out and see if this is God. And so it reads, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Let me pause for a minute. Abraham, on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and he saw this place. So reason why I believe the Lord put the third day in there, because the date that he told him to sacrifice his son, I don't read and I don't see where Abraham discussed anything with Sarah. I don't see he discussed anything with God. Lord, are you sure you want me to sacrifice this promised seed? You said this is the promise, and now you're telling me to kill him? I don't see any of that written in here. And so what I'm saying is that he had time enough to think about what God told him to do. Just like we have time enough. When God tell us to do something, we have time. You know, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this? And the only example, well, I ain't going to say I got one, but this one just keeps coming to mind when God told me to give my house away. You know, I had time enough to think about it. And of course, I even tried to validate what God say do. You know, I went to my pastor and say, do you think God is telling me to do this? You know, this is a blessing for us. God gave us this, you know, but Abraham didn't do that. Abraham just believed God. And so on the third day, when he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, Abraham still ain't saying nothing. I'm just going to go and do what he say do. When God told Abraham to get away from his family, what did Abraham do? Bible say he left the next day. He got out of there. When God told Abraham to, to circumcise his family, himself. The Bible say the self same day he did it. He didn't, I mean, that old, a 13-year-old son and all these servants he got, the self same day. And think about that when he circumcised the whole camp. Man, they had enemies. They was very vulnerable. All of them being circumcised, what can they do? They got to lay there and take it. But God protected them. He just believed God. And so he didn't question God at all. And I know sometimes I question God. I don't know nobody about nobody else, but I do question him. I can't get on my wife about that by asking questions, but I sure question him on some things. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come unto you again. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it up on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the burnt offering? And Isaac said, wait a minute, daddy. Can I ask you a question? You know, I see the wood and the fire, but we forgot a lamb. Where is the sacrifice? Huh? Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abram built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So here you got this man. God came to him and promised him a seed, a promised seed in his old age. And he got this son know about sacrificing and burnt offerings. I got the wood and the fire, but where is this offering, daddy? Daddy said, God will provide himself. He didn't say God was going to provide. Abraham was specific. God going to provide himself a lamb. He going to provide himself. God is going to provide himself what he needs in you. Because he's going to bring it to test. God is trying to test our faith. That's all God is trying to do. Somebody asked me at work, said, well, where did Abraham get this faith from? You know, he didn't just wake up one morning and have this faith, Brother Al. Where did he get it from? Did somebody come to him and prophesy? Did somebody lay hands on him and give him faith? I said, no, he got it from the same place you got yours. We all got faith. The Bible says he's dealt unto every man a measure of faith. And the Bible tells us that all good gifts and perfect gifts come from the Father of life. Huh? Whom there is no variance. God don't change. Why would I give you faith and not you faith? I'm going to give you faith. Everybody's got a measure of faith. And so this brother was, I think he was asking the wrong question. I believe he was trying to ask, how did he know to use this faith? How did he know that this was God? Was God talking to him or not? How did he know that it wasn't none of him? You got to have a relationship with God. You got to know who God is. We say God is our everything. Yes, he is our everything. But we got to know that God is our father. We got to know that he's my mama. He's my brother. He's my sister. He's my grandmama. He's my everything. And so I'm saying that to say that you got to know the voice of God. You got to know who's talking to you. And if you don't, you'll never be able to go nowhere. You'll be stuck, still waiting on God to speak to you. God ain't going to keep speaking to you. When God tell you something, he wants you to do it. When God told us to move, he didn't tell us. He told me to move out here in St. Peter's. That day, that self same day, I went and got the key. And I said, y'all want to move? We start packing. Sure did. I thought about Abraham. Abraham moved. I'm going to move. If I didn't see it in the Bible, then I can't do it. Then I have to start searching about what to do. So God gives us a measure of faith. There is no changing in God. You know, if you got a little bit of faith, God will do a little things for you. But if you got great faith, God going to do great things for you. If you ain't got no faith, not to say God can't do it, but I believe God just ain't going to do it because you ain't got no faith in him. Because God say, he that come to me must believe that I am. And I am a reward of them that diligently seek me. And so ain't no need to go unto God in doubt. You got to go believing, trusting God, and knowing that God will provide himself what he needs. God don't need us. He don't need you. God loves us so much that he just want to use, he just want to be a part of your life. He wants to show the world. He wants to show off in the world through you. And we get mixed up sometimes. When God starts using us, we can get high-minded. We can lose ourselves. So Abraham knew who he was, and he knew who God was, because he that comes to God, you got to know that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, this man, he had to have some kind of communication with God. The way that his life started off with God, God just came to him and spoke to him, told him to move. But I believe God, Abraham, had some kind of relationship with him. I believe he prayed to God. I believe he sought God on a daily basis. You know, and I believe that when we seek God and pray on a daily basis, somebody sent out a text not long ago saying that we got to be instant in prayer. We got to be just like that in prayer. When God calls us, we got to go to it. And it's got to be a sincere prayer, because the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man is going to avail much. It's going to yield. It's going to bring forth. The Bible tells us that in James 5:7, that Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, you know, and he prayed earnestly. And I know it's a job to pray earnestly. It's a job to just to really get down and just get down and get with it and bawl and cry and have this effective, fervent, hot, successful prayer. God just don't want you just bringing him no any old offering. You know, Cain and Abel brought a good offering, but Cain, he just brought anything. And Abel offering, he had great respect for him. God won't have great respect for your offering. Come believing that God will. The Jewish writers believe that this man Elijah was an angel because he was full of the anointing of the Spirit of God. They don't believe that he had mama and a daddy. You know, they believed that he was an angel because he had the anointing of God upon his life, and he didn't die. And he was taken up in a whirlwind. But James saying, look, this man had, he was subject to like passions as we are. He was subject to the same things that we are subject to. We're subject to death. We're subject to affliction. We're subject to persecution. We had mom and daddy. We were born into sin. He was born into sin, you know. So James is saying, look, just because God used him the way that he used him, he prayed earnestly that the rain was stopped for 3.5 years and God moved. God spoke what Joshua spoke to the sun and say, sun, be still. Moon, stay in your place. And God did it. These are men just like we are. That's all God is trying to tell us. They are men subject to like passions as we are. And it don't make no difference. They're just flesh and blood. They are flesh and blood. God is telling us if we humble ourselves and just believe God, God would do the same thing for us. He said, I'm no respecter person. What I did for them back then, I'll do for you right now. That was back then faith. What about faith today? Oh, we're still living on what God did. And God wants to do some things now. And I believe God is trying to show us, because God is just answering, he's answering our prayers. He's showing us. It's like Abraham didn't have this great faith right off the bat. He said, I'm going to take you to a mountain, Mount Moriah. Moriah simply means the Lord is my teacher. God is trying to teach us something. Your mountain may be on your job. Your mountain may be in your house. Your mountain may be in the stores. Wherever your Mount Moriah is, God trying to show you something. He's trying to teach you that I am God and God by myself. And Abraham didn't have this faith like that right off. He had to walk and had to be tested. Leave your mom and your dad. Leave all your kinfolk. That's the first test. I ain't leaving mom and daddy. All my inheritance, if I leave daddy, then he won't give me nothing. I got to stay here and help. You know, I'm saying that because it happened to me. When God told me to leave, and he said, if you don't leave, you'll never know who I am. I said, well, daddy did promise me some things. He promised me that. And I don't want the next one getting close to daddy, getting my inheritance. Your inheritance is not in him, he said. Your inheritance is in me. He said, if you don't leave this house, you'll never know who I am. Who you talking to on this front porch? And I left that day. And I said, Lord, I got to know who you are. My inheritance is not in my father. It's not in my mama. My inheritance is in Christ. It's in Jesus and Jesus only. So this man he was subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed earnestly. We got to earnestly pray. We got to keep on praying until God see the faith in us, until it happens. We had a slogan running around here saying, push, pray until something happen. Did anything happen? We stopped praying and we changed the prayer. What I was looking for didn't happen. So I should still be pushing. I should still be praying until something happened, until that very thing that we're looking for. Ain't no need to hide behind that thing that you're looking for. It ain't too great for God. It ain't too big for God. God is able to do it. So that very thing that you're looking for God, keep pushing. Keep praying until something happens. Not just something, until it happens. Because I got to keep on pushing, because it ain't happened yet. If it happened, they need to push it. And so it ain't happened. So I got to keep pushing. I got to keep on praying until I see it come to fruition. And so Abraham, God was trying to show him that he was God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these people, they had the faith to do all kind of things back then. And that was back then faith. God is looking for faith today. The Bible says, not back then, now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things today. I don't know about nobody else, but I got some substance that I'm hoping for today. Not back then. That's gone. It's the evidence of the things of today that we're supposed to be seeing. We're supposed to be seeing healing. We're supposed to be seeing miracles. We're supposed to be seeing all those things. But are we living back then, or are we living now? Are you living now, or are you still living back in the past? I'm looking at an auditorium, a few people that are living today. And we're supposed to be getting our blessings today. And I ain't talking about the greens, the wagons, and the hat. I'm talking about things greater. And God is just trying to show us something, that there are greater things that God wants to do for me. What's a hat? What's a green? You know, what's a wagon? God looking for greater things. He said, they that know their God, they shall do exploits. God want us to do exploits. God want this church filled. He want us not only this church, but God want us healed. He want us well. God want us to, he want us to be able to be in a position to give, to help one another, and not be concerned about what's coming up on this earth, what's happening in the government, what's happening with this election. God ain't concerned about all of that. You know, God concerned about what we gonna do with him. And so God told Abraham to give up this son of his. And you got anything that so precious to you that you are not willing to part from? You got something in your life that you're saying, no, I got to keep this. No, Lord, you didn't tell me to do that. I'm going to put this over on the side, put this in the closet so nobody won't see it. You know, God, you ain't, you know, God can't see it in the closet. God wants you to give up the very thing. He wants you to be willing to give up the very thing. God ain't really ain't trying to take nothing from you. He wasn't trying to take Isaac. He ain't trying to take none. God gave it to you in the first place. Huh? He gave it to you. So God wants you to be willing to whatever he say do, to hasten and do it. Say, Lord, I'll do it. I don't understand. We were talking about this morning. There's a lot of things we don't understand. You know? But are you willing to do it anyway? We was talking about a lot of good stuff this morning. When pastor get to preaching and Lord come over her and tell us this is what we ought to do. We ought not to do. And you know, I guess I sat out there, but I can feel some people saying, well, I don't know about all that. Oh, well, it must be talking to somebody on the left side of the church. It ain't over here. Now, when God tell us to do something, whether you understand it or not, Abraham didn't understand nothing. You know, he didn't say he knew. He just said God will provide himself a lamb. God is looking for us to be obedient. He's looking for us to do what he say do. Mary say, look, whatever Jesus tell you to do, just go ahead and do it. You start asking questions and, you know, you start murmuring and complaining. You know, God looking at you. Why are you complaining? Why are you murmuring? That's a sign of doubt. That's a sign of unbelief. So the Bible tells us that Abraham, he didn't stagger at the faith. Paul wrote to the Romans about Abraham. He said, Abraham, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So whatever we're considering that's dead in our lives, we better consider it not dead, because God is able to raise it up if it's dead. God is able to bring it to pass if you consider it dead. Whatever you considering that's dead in your life, don't consider it dead, because God is not dead. God is yet alive. That Shunammite woman, the Lord told her that she was going to have a child. The child died. The man of God that spoke it into her life said, go out there, Gehazi, and see what's wrong with this woman. She's coming this way. Ask her, is it well with her husband? So the man of God went out and said, is it well with you? We see you coming real fast. Something wrong with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your house? She said, it is well. You better tell your dead situation, just like Abraham said, it is well. He said he didn't consider himself dead, neither his wife's womb dead. Now, we know that's against nature. Well, he was 100-something. Well, he was 86 years old when he had his first one. So I believe that Abraham didn't doubt. He didn't stagger in unbelief. But to tell you that my wife, who's way past age, the flower of her years, is going to have a child? Anybody come telling you something that's impossible? That it's just, you know, this is beyond science. It can't happen. You know, God can't do it. I mean, you know, these things just don't happen. You know, people getting cured from cancer. You know, I mean, the impossible thing God wants you to believe him for. The very impossible, whatever the doctors say that can't happen, it can happen. Whatever your friends are telling you that it won't work, it's going to work if you can believe. If you can believe it, it can happen. So if Abraham had to listen to everybody around his house, everybody in this bedroom, his brothers, man, you know, Sarah old and, you know, you old, you stricken, y'all ain't having no kids. If you're going to have some kids, you'd have had it by now. Why God gonna wait till you 86 and 100 years old to give you? Why God gonna wait till you 100 years old to give you what he said he's gonna give you? Why not do it? Why not prove you wrong in a very bad way? I'm gonna wait till you get past, way past, and do this thing. God is trying to wait till you get way past and tell your friends, show your friends something. They're gonna be on Mount Moriah, which God is trying to show us who he really is. God wants to bring forth blessings. I mean, when he says shaking together, God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing. People are standing in the need today, even in this church right now. They are needing. But I hope that you are believing God. I hope that the very thing that you are deeming that's impossible, that you are telling God, God, this thing is possible with you. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what my job says. I mean, this stuff is getting so bad out here, thanks to God. They're talking about this shot and all this stuff, and I'm considering all of this stuff they're talking about. I said, Lord, I hope that I got enough faith to believe in you, because I believe that this shot that they're talking about, they're already saying, look, they finna have concerts, and they selling these tickets, but can't nobody come to these concerts unless you prove that you had that vaccination. So where else do that go? You won't be let in public places. Your kids won't be going to school unless you show that you got that vaccination. And people are lined up, I'm hearing, to take this vaccination. People are going to be lined up to take the mark of the beast, because they ain't got no hope. They done lost hope. And I say, Lord, I ain't saying I got great faith. My job, your job might tell you that, look, you can't come back unless you got that shot. What you going to do then? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do, but one thing I want to do is what God want me to do. If God tell me to do something, then I'm going to do it. If he tell me don't go back to work, then y'all going to see me not going back to work. I'm going to be out here leaning on, we just said, God is my everything. He's my leaning pole. Y'all better get you a leaning pole. You better get you a leaning. You better lean on Jesus, his everlasting arm, because God is your everything. We don't know what's going to happen in this life. Everybody got their theory. Everybody got they say about it, but we really don't know. We don't know. We don't know what's going to come, but we know greater things are going to happen in the Lord, but we know also worse things are going to happen too. So God is just trying to tell us, whatever we're considering dead, don't consider that thing dead. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Some people are just staggering. They staggering. They don't know which way to go. They staggering so that they look like they drunk sometime and not drunk in the spirit. A lot of folk are just drunk and confusion. They don't know what to do. They don't know to go left or to go right or to go straight. When you don't know what to do, you just better find yourself standing still and seeing the salvation of God. You better find yourself being still and knowing that God is going to lead you and guide you. So the Bible says he staggered not at the promise, as many people are staggering today. But he was fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded this morning? Are you fully persuaded that God will take care of you? Are you fully persuaded? Or are you looking for another? Are we looking for the government? We're looking for the government to come through for us. We're looking for what's going to happen with this election. If Joe Biden get in there, or Donald Trump get in there, we don't like this, we don't like that one. What are we looking? Where are your eyes? Huh? Your eyes should be on Jesus. Your mind should be on Jesus. Because whose mind is stayed on him, he won't give you perfect peace. God wants you to start walking in faith, living by faith, thinking by faith, and even sleeping by faith. God don't want you to lose no sleep over the stuff that's going on in this world. God said he will give you sweet sleep. Don't think about tomorrow. Tomorrow ain't promised to you. Get through the day. Get through this day today. So he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Are you fully persuaded this morning, whatever God promised you? God has spoken some things in your life, prophesied to you? Have you let those things go? Just think back, way back too. Or even just yesterday. God spoke some stuff in your life. Be fully persuaded that God is able. He's able to perform that which he had said to you. And when you're not fully persuaded, then I think you're making God angry. I think we can make God laugh when we believe him for any and everything. You know, Abraham laughed, the Bible said, when God told him he was going to have a child. He said he laughed. People say he laughed in doubt. I believe he laughed in joy. He had to laugh in joy because he had already had a son at 86, past the flower of his age. And so this next thing he was talking about doing with him and Sarah wasn't no big deal, Abraham. So when God started doing things for you in your life, the next big thing ain't going to be no problem for you. Then the next big thing ain't going to be no problem for you after that. You're going to always have a next big thing. But know that God is bigger than the next big thing. God is able to do the next big thing. Not me, not you. God is able to do the next big thing. And so he was fully persuaded that God was able to perform that which he had promised him. God is not dead, neither has he respect of any person. He remains the same. So he that believe that faith in God could bring even what was dead back to life. You got to be fully persuaded. And God is saying that the faith that they had back then is good. And we've said so many times before, Brother Hearn just testified this morning about seeing the blinded eyes and the crippled walking and the lame walking and the sick, the dead raising and all of that. I want to see those kind of things. I thank God for these tangible things. I thank God for the clothes, the shoes, the cars, and all of that stuff. I want to see some of these other things. You know, I want to see some of that stuff. I want to see that now faith, not back then faith. You know, but in order for you to have now faith, you got to have Abraham's faith. You got to think like Abraham. You got to walk like Abraham. You got to have the mind of Abraham. You got to have now faith. So now faith not only can move mountains, now faith can heal. Now faith can deliver. Now faith can bring forth. Now faith, the right now faith that God is looking for us to have. We got to have it right now in this day, in this time. People are suffering every day. And we got to have now faith. We got now faith that we will see the substance that we're hoping for and the evidence of the things that have not been seen. I haven't seen a whole lot of what Pastor and all these other folk have seen. So God said, I am no respected person. I change not. How many know that God has not changed? And so that same faith that Abraham had, we got to possess it. And every test and every trial that come up on us is a test. God is testing us out. And he's testing your faith to see how much you going to trust him. All Abraham had was, the Bible says, his only son. He had Ishmael, but it referred to his, Isaac was his only son, the only son that he loved. And so he didn't have nothing else that he can touch Abraham with but all that he had. You know, God had an only begotten son. And when the world touched him, that's all God had was his only begotten. When Abraham put that boy on that wood and bound him up, it don't show that Isaac was struggling. It don't show that he was fighting. It don't show that he was fussing with his daddy. He got up on that altar. It don't show that when Jesus got up on the cross, he said, I lay my life down. No man take it from me. It don't show that he kicked and screamed. They knelt him to the cross. He said, I give my life up. Isaac was giving his life up. He was just obeying his father. Jesus was just obeying his father. I give my life. And so we got to give our lives, our very lives, to God. So whatever God has put in your life that is so dear to you, be willing to give it up for his sake. He said, by faith, by it, the elders obtained a good report. And by it, by faith, we can obtain the same report. We should have, and I believe we're going to have, great testimonies coming in this church very soon. I believe we're going to have great testimony. Because I just believe what God is doing, he's really testing us. And God told me to ask. And I wasn't asking. I'm failing my test. So God told me to ask. I'm going to ask. Now I'm finna start asking largely, because he said, ask what you really want to ask. Because he done felt in my spirit that I really didn't ask what I really want to ask. So I'm asking God for the big things. For then you're going to hear a testimony. We're going to hear some testimonies, saints of God. Because by it, by faith, you're going to obtain that same report that the elders, that same report that pastor be talking about, what they seen. How God stretched out legs. How God, when God said, lay your hands on the radio and I deliver you. That was faith. Most folk walk past that radio and say, well, okay, Lord, but you know. But God said, put your hands on that radio. The man of God said, put your hands on the radio. Put it on the radio. We just got to do what God say do. And we're going to see some things. God's been testing us. And I'm afraid that me, some of us, we've been failing the test because it seems so simple. Don't it? You know, well, that. Wow. I know you can do this, but God said, do this foolish thing. Put your hands on that radio. God said, turn around and ask that man for some greens. God said, ask me for a wagon. He said, ask me for what my wallet is. God is telling us to ask him and but believe him, but do what he say do. Make sure that God, when God tell you to do something, find yourself going to Mount Moriah so he can teach you something. And in our language, we would say, I'm going to show you something. Let me show you. That's why I tell myself, come on, man. Let me show you. That's God is saying, let me show you, Abraham, who I am. I am that I am. I am the great I am. And God is our everything, saints of God. By it, by that same faith that was once delivered unto the saints, it has been delivered unto us. And we got to stretch out on it. I mean, starting today, for the very impossible things, for your husbands, for your wives, for your children. I'm stretching out for my children. And everybody think my children are saved. I would say none of them are saved. They say they say. I don't argue with them about it. But I say, Lord, I want to see them serving you. I want to see them confessing you, professing you, declaring you. I want to see that. And I know if I want to see it, he most definitely want to see it. And so I'm stretching out by faith that God is going to save my seed, all of them. And not just them, everything that's connected to them. Everything that seems impossible. The ones that the in-laws that don't believe in Jesus. The other ones don't even believe in any God. God going to touch them because God going to use you, use us, so they can see himself. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and give God glory. God want to get the glory, and the only way he going to get the glory is through us. So people can see who he is and what he's capable of doing. If you do it for them, pray for me. I'll do it. He can do it for me. I bless you on this morning. I was talking to a brother. He wasn't no brother. This guy, a coworker of mine. And I heard through a plumber. Been talking to this guy for a long time. Kind of got him calmed down. He was just loud mouthing, cussing, and he was just a mess. And so I would just talk to him and listen to all of that stuff. But I heard that he had stage 3 colon cancer. And they say through the grapevine. I'm like, man, he didn't tell me that. I talked to him often. And so when I got back to the shop, I came to him and said, man, how you doing? I didn't want to say, well, so-and-so told him. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing all right. I said, just all right? I kept on. He said, well, I was diagnosed yesterday, man, with stage 3 colon cancer. And so I started to minister to him. Couldn't get off the parking lot. Sure did. When I left him, he was saying that God is my father. I said, have you repented? He said, yeah, I made my peace with God. I said, don't make your peace on a contingency you think you can go out of here. I said, make your peace with him, man, while things are going. God wants you to have peace with him in the good times, too. God can heal you, brother. I said, that thing ain't too hard for you. Don't think that that's impossible. Man can give you an expiration date. But God can wipe that expiration date off and give you another. He can give you a long life. So I said, have you repented? Have you confessed Jesus? Do you believe Jesus? I took him through the whole thing. He said, yeah. I said, do you know what repentance is? Well, he didn't know what it was. I said, repentance, man. I said, that's sin right there. I'm pointing at the gate. I say, sin, repenting ain't a 360. I said, where I'm going? He said, you still headed towards sin. I said, God, would you turn your back toward those things and live a godly life, a righteous and a holy life? That's what God wants you to do. And so he said, man, take my number. Got his number. So I'm going to minister to him. God didn't ask me to lay hands on him and pray and all that. I'm going to see what God going to do with this brother. Because I told him, I left there with him believing that God can do it. He was believing God can do anything. I said, man, God can do anything. I don't care what it is. Cancer. I said, man, we were just praying for somebody and they got delivered from this thing. Or they got delivered from that. For real? For real. That's God is real. He's my everything. God is your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your keeper. He's your way maker. God will give you long life. He promised that to us. But you got to believe it and know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So by faith, by it, the elders received a good report. And by faith, we too shall receive a good report. God bless you on this morning. Anybody need prayer this morning? We can touch and agree. That's all I know to do. Unless God tell me to do something else. We can touch and agree. God is our everything. Is there anything that you got that's greater in your life, that you're saying that's great in your life, that you want to sacrifice? Give it up. I ain't saying put it on the altar. Song y'all say, put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. When you give it to God, God turns things around. So whatever it is that's very important to you, that you love so dear, ask God. Give it to the Lord. Tell him you want to sacrifice it. Pastor preached years ago, you got to sacrifice your Isaacs. Your Isaac. And I said, I got 8 of them to sacrifice. Abraham, you had 1. I got 8 Isaacs I got to give up, Lord. Now, show me how to do that. I don't know how to do it. What are you talking about, sacrifice? Turn my back on them? No, I ain't telling you to turn your back on. I'm telling you to turn your back on them when it comes to me when I tell you to do something. I had to sacrifice them this weekend. I was supposed to be hunting with them. They went hunting. Dad, you going? We went sighting rifles in last week and all that. Yeah, I'm going. That's why I kept asking Pastor. Now, who's supposed to be doing something on so-and-so Sunday? Who's supposed to be doing that, Pastor? So-and-so? Because I'm tossed. I mean, I'm tossed and I'm torn betwixt the two. God, Isaac. Abraham, God, Isaac. God, he loved God more than Isaac. Here. Lord, here he is. And I say, Lord, there they go. So when Friday came, Dad, you going? No, Dad, can't go. I got to be at church, man. I promised the Lord. I ain't missing no more of what I'm supposed to be doing for God for nothing else. I say, Lord, that was between me and you, and they don't understand it. They don't know nothing about it. So I say, I'm going to sacrifice. But I say, Lord, you keep my children out there. I thank God and blessed them. He blessed them. He kept them. So we got to be willing to give it up. I said, Lord, I'm willing. It didn't, you know, it bothered me a little bit, but it wasn't no big deal. I said, Lord, because I know that you got a blessing behind that. It's going to be a blessing come behind. It's a blessing coming behind for whatever God tell you to sacrifice. It's a blessing right behind it. That ram is in the bush. Anybody need prayer this morning? That ram is caught already in the bush for you. If you can just believe God, it's there. He's going to call your name. He's going to call your name and say, Abraham, Abraham, so-and-so, so-and-so, don't do it. I've already prepared myself for sacrifice. I got it together. There'll be nothing else. We're going to stand and pray. Okay. Here, I'll let you do that, Pastor.
I want to make an announcement. December 1 through 21, we will go on again our fast, the Daniel fast, to give up, you know, junk and stuff that's been, that we picked back up when we did the other one. And we're going to be asking God for mercy. The Bible say that his mercy endure forever. And I don't really know what he get, what's planned for us, for America, but let's ask God for mercy. That's what I'm asking. You have something you can ask for. And do, if you do this, because I know people have done it and they really have gained something from it. The girl, Keisha, she was so glad. She said, Pastor, you know, I ain't never felt so good in my life. I'm really, thank you. So it's not only good for your physical body. The Lord may do something for you there. Who knows? But it's good for, it's just good for your soul. So starting December 1 to December 21, we will lay aside the thing that we love the most. Hey, that goes with your sermon today. Yeah, lay aside the things you love, you know. You know, otherwise, y'all, let me see, y'all know about the Daniel fast? We're going to do it like we did. Who else? Who went on the Daniel fast with us? Yeah, no meat, no. You know, I was thinking, I said, I just love about everything, so I just, you know what I'm saying? I said, as I said, it's going on vegetables. A lot of the churches said we get off vegetable fast. I said, Shuckin, I love vegetables. You know, so that's not no dedication for me. You know what I'm saying? So make it a dedication. You know, I know you're going to get off with sodas, right? Candy, sugar, popcorn, you know, popsicles. And just, you know, just make a sacrifice. Children of God, we got to sacrifice. We got to. On the horizon of our nation, we are standing in who knows. Who knows? So everybody hear that now? Amen. And then we can put down, maybe sister, she made something out before, so we'll do it again. So next Sunday, when you come, we'll have something where we'll tell you what not to do. Okay?